The scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4b through 8. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Everyone who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty.
Shall we stand together and sing hymn number 570, We Gather Together. Hard not to like Thanksgiving. Families get together and sometimes there is a little snow in the air. Some people might not give thanks for that, but when it's just snowflakes coming down and they can do no harm, everyone knows that Christmas is on the way. School is out, so mostly the children are happy. And there are parades on TV, and for people who like football, there's more than usual. And people who like to shop, well, I guess it's the best time of the year, with all the Black Friday specials and things like that. And of course, there's all that food. Turkey and stuffing and all the other things that go with it, and pies. And we save up, I do, all day long for that one big meal, and then if I happen later to be hungry, I snack on the leftovers. It's hard not to like. And while it can be stressful sometimes if family relationships are strained and there's all that extra work, by and large it's a positive experience for most people, and it's something we look forward to throughout the year. The purpose is, of course, to express gratitude for life's blessings. For believers, The expression of gratitude is especially important because we believe that life is a gift from God and that every good thing is a gift from God, and because of the firm belief in eternal life. It seems appropriate and important to take one day out of the year as a celebration of Thanksgiving. And even though a national holiday is not able to create in us a heartfelt feeling of gratitude if there's not already one there, and if there is, a national holiday is not necessary because gratitude and thanksgiving are a part of who we are and they come to characterize every day of our lives. We might also say that whatever we mean when we say we are grateful, it can be sometimes a hard thing to generate, a hard thing to maintain, especially when things are not going well. And that's partly the reason why we say it all the time, that we should give thanks. Partly the reason why we have a day. For the believers in Jesus, the importance of gratitude can't be overstated. Paul is clear in his letters that in view of Christ's sacrifice, thanksgiving is the appropriate response. And he says that in a number of different ways. And of course, there's the famous story in the Gospels about the 10 lepers that Jesus cleansed, and one of them came back, and he said, "Where are the others?" And if you go to the Old Testament to find instructions about thanksgiving, they're from right from the beginning. The Israelites were instructed by Moses and by all the priests as down through the years to give thank offerings and to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. And the Psalms, many of the Psalms themselves are about gratitude, and many of them contain the refrain or something like it: "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." I'm sure it has been said before that the command to give thanks is as pervasive in the Bible as anything else is. But there's something interesting about it, and that is that thanksgiving can be superficial. And it turns out that it is not any good to us if it is not authentic, if it doesn't come from some place deeper inside. Clearly, thanksgiving and a thankful attitude is not any good to us if it is not heartfelt and genuine. And if it is not, it would seem that the command to be thankful might seem burdensome. And I'm pretty sure it's not meant to be. Maybe it is better seen as a way of pointing towards the goal, as a way of saying to us, as human beings and as believers in Christ, that as a result of God's love for us, gratitude will well up in us. And that's what we are hoping for. That's what we are praying for. That's what we are seeking in our lives. And certainly, when we reach that goal or when we approach it, I'm not sure anybody has ever been totally successful of having an attitude of thankfulness all the time. There are many occasions which sometimes we don't act that way. But when we allow it to become a big enough part of our life that it cheers up our day and that it makes us better people, we don't have any trouble with the holiday that we celebrate at Thanksgiving. It overflows with meaning. The question for us is, how do we come to have grateful hearts that way, so that it comes natural, so that it just flows up out of our inmost being? Today is the last day of the liturgical year. Were you aware of that? I grew up Baptist. And the Baptist that I grew up with, which I come from St. Louis, Missouri, as you know, did not really practice the liturgical calendar very much, except for in a general sort of way. Of course, we celebrated Christmas and Easter. I do not remember growing up in a church that lit Advent candles, so we really didn't focus upon that. And we sang this song, The 12 Days of Christmas, but I never really understood what that was about, except for it was an interesting song to sing. And I also grew up in a church that did not do anything really to celebrate or to practice Lent. So I was an adult before I came to understand in a more meaningful way the liturgical calendar, and I'm still pretty sure that Baptists apply it in a general way for the most part. But it seems like after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes 50 days after Passover, that pretty much is the end of it. You don't hear much about what goes on between sometime around May and sometime around the end of November, when Advent comes around and starts the whole thing up all over again. Turns out that since next week is the first Sunday of Advent, today is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. And in the course of the year, every part of the gospel story is retold. Every major theological and spiritual emphasis is raised up for our consideration. In one year, we are given a chance to think about the meaning of our lives in terms of the gospel, about sin and forgiveness, and about the fulfillment of things. The doctrine of the end, whatever that is, the return of Christ, the idea that there is a completion, a time when all things will be made right, is very strong in the Scriptures, and it is the emphasis at the end of the liturgical year. That's interesting to me. Because if you were in a church that was a little bit more attuned to the liturgical calendar, that's what you would be looking at today. What does that mean? When Pontius Pilate interrogated Jesus in the Gospel of John, he asked Jesus if he was the King of the Jews. And Jesus avoided the question at church at first by saying to Pilate, "Was that your own idea? Or did somebody else tell you to ask me that?" But after a while, Jesus came around to the answer, and what he said was, "My kingdom is not of this world. I've come to bear witness to the truth. My kingdom is not of this world. I've come to bear witness to the truth." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" And interestingly, Jesus didn't say anything to that in answer to that question. The truth is what the gospel is all about. It's what we are meant to contemplate as we live our lives throughout the year. And here at the end of the liturgical year, we are meant to entertain the vision of a kingdom that is not of this world, a spiritual kingdom, a vision of the victorious Christ, like the one we've read today in the Apocalypse of John. "Look, he is coming on the clouds, and everyone will see him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty One who was and is to come. He is the glory of God, shone bright, right before our very eyes." That is the focus. And all of this comes at a time of year when we, along with others in our country, observe this wonderful holiday of Thanksgiving that's hard not to like. Seems to me the two go hand in hand. The idea of the fulfillment, the end of all things, when all things are brought together in perfect harmony, and Thanksgiving are meant to go together, if for no other reason that we have been promised that kingdom, promised that world, and we are to be grateful because of that promise. We say thank you all the time. We say it every time we buy something in a store. Or if we happen to be working in the store, we say it every time someone buys something from us. We say it every time somebody holds the door for us. We say it when somebody has done something for us or given something to us. And we say it both when they give it free of charge and when we pay for it. As a matter of fact, sometimes I feel more gratitude when I've paid for it. Like when you go to the doctor and he does something and makes you better. Glad to pay for something like that. Sometimes we stop and think about what we are thankful for just as a reminder. Lest we start thinking about negative things and feeling alone. And start indulging in self-pity. Which is the opposite of gratitude. I didn't know that before. And it will stretch its grimy little fingers around our throats and choke the life out of us if we let it. And I say this as a criticism in case any of you are prone to feel sorry for yourself or have ever indulged in that particular thing, but just simply as an observation born of experience. I remember the most difficult time in my life when I was living each day in a very intense way and asking, why is this happening to me? And one of the discoveries I made was that when I complained the most and felt sorry for myself the most, I also felt more miserable, dark, and I was also grumpy and unkind towards people. I remember, this is another thing about modern culture that has happened. Since we all have cell phones, nobody calls us on our landlines anymore. And so on our landlines, most of the time we get people who are trying to sell something. And I remember one time somebody called me on my landline and I answered the phone and chewed them out pretty much for bothering me. And I thought to myself, why was I like that? And yet when I gave thanks, when I woke up in the morning and saw the beautiful sunrise or had something that I was looking forward to that day, and or when I was aware that some issue in my life had been resolved, and I gave thanks for it, I felt good inside. Lighter on my feet. Better. As if a great weight had been lifted off my shoulders. This idea of thankfulness is not meant to be a burden to us, but it's meant to be a liberation from a burden. It's meant to be something that happens in us deeper than the skin, farther deeper down than the surface of things. And sometimes when we say thank you, we say it in passing, out of politeness. And I think sometimes even when we say it in prayer, we say it almost out of some kind of habit or maybe spiritual politeness. And very often when we say it, and this is something that I'm going to try to communicate because it's important, I think, we say it for something. And it's good that we should be thankful for something. We're thankful for our homes and our families, and we're thankful for our health, and we're thankful for food and for shelter and for clothing, and we're thankful for the country that we live in. And we are aware that when things break down, when governments break down, life turns out to be sort of like what it is in Syria right now, chaotic and brutal and oppressive. It's right that we should be thankful for things like that. It's right that we should be thankful when we get sick and then we get well. Sometimes we even thank God for the weather. We thank God when it rains. And sometimes when it doesn't. Depending on what we're doing that day. But let it occur to you this morning that we that what we are being asked to do is just to be thankful. It's like saying please, which is also one of the things that has to do with manners. We say please and thank you, and it's good that we should say please in prayer when we ask for something. Please and thanks are two of the most commonly heard words in the English language. Well, I have to admit, I don't hear please as much as I hear thank you. But they're also two of the most important because they are an acknowledgement of our need for and receipt of help. And we all need help. And saying them is more than just polite when we feel them on a deeper level. All of this, talking about Pontius Pilate interviewing Jesus, talking about the liturgical calendar and this holiday that we celebrate, I'm hoping that we can be driven at least a little to think about what it's like to be grateful in our hearts. On a deeper level. And perhaps this happens when a point has been reached in our longing for God that we no longer know what to do or what to say. We no longer have words for asking. And in a way, we have reached the end of our rope. And we pray, please. But not so much please for this or please that, but just please. Maybe please help. Or please come. And then, something rises up out of the darkness in us that assures us of God's presence and convinces us of God's love and care. Convinces us that we have been accepted. Something rises up that has been given freely and can only be received freely. And the effect of it is the healing of the soul. A liberation from anxiety, like a giant weight being lifted and carried away, and before we know it, something wells up in us. From a place too deep from words, and what we call that something is gratitude. And then we pray thanks. Not for this or for that, but just thank you. Because we have no words. Because of a glimpse that we have caught one way or another of the one whose kingdom is not of this world. The one who is the Alpha and the Omega. The Almighty One who was and is to come with peace and wholeness in His wings. This giving of thanks just because is one of the best feelings in the whole world. And it is hard not to like. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that in the course of this time when we celebrate Thanksgiving, we might catch a glimpse of you in your splendor and in your magnificence, that we might be overwhelmed from somewhere deep with gratitude in our hearts, and that it might shake off the darkness and break up all the crusty things that bind us, so that we might live our lives more fully and serve you better. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I guess I can tell you exactly when it was, October the 18th, I was up here conducting worship one day and I couldn't find my bulletin. Do you remember that? I found it. Our hymn of dedication and response this morning is number 2036 in the Black Hymnal. Give thanks. Let's stand together and sing. I wish you all a very happy and wonderful Thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the things that we have learned today through Bible study and through worship, through fellowship and being together, and pray that your presence would go out with us throughout this week and protect us and guide us and heal us and make us strong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.